Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM and the IC7000. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
Over.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 60, August 15th, 2012. Chat rooms and contests. And as we listen to the strumming sounds of Joe Walsh with the theme song, Hello Everyone, it's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. No, I'm not Bob Heil. Bob is out tonight. This is Ham Nation on most of your entire computer. We've got Amanda with us tonight. Nice to see Amanda, K1DDN, back from the hospital. We've got Gordon. We've got George. We've got most of the regular cast of idiots. So let's say hello to everyone. Gordon, how are you tonight out there in California land?
Everything is fine out here in California, Don, and we've got an exciting show. So back to you, and we'll be up next.
Excellent. Let's go a little bit north of me in South Mississippi, about, 2.5 hours north to Jackson, and we'll say hello to George. How are you tonight, my friend?
George appears to have muted himself.
George has muted himself. Oh, no. Don't hit me.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
There you are. How you doing?
I didn't have the right end of the antenna pointed. Sorry, Bob's not here tonight, but I'm going to be seeing him this weekend in Huntsville, and I'm going to see you too, Don. And what I'm holding here in my hand is an antenna we're going to be giving away tonight. We've just got too many prizes here to give away. So if you would all please stay tuned, and we'll tell you later on in the show how you can win some of this stuff.
Absolutely. We're going to radiate some RF with that. Now let's head over towards, and yes, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Huntsville, Alabama in a couple of days. Let's head over to Colorado now. And Amanda, back from the hospital, stitches are out, and you've got this really, really lovely footwear that you're sporting tonight. How are you tonight, Amanda? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. So glad to be back, you guys. Dealing with the pain here, and I do have this really neat-looking boot on my foot. So thanks, Don, and glad to be here.
Well, now tell us what happened. Tell us why you've been gone for a while, because you've had quite the adventure in medical terminology. What's going on with you?
Well, in Klutzville here, we call it just falling down the steps of our front porch. No, it's fine. You have to laugh it off, otherwise you're just going to be miserable. And I'll show you guys my sexy boot here, if I can get it up high enough. This is what happens
hot.
When you turn your ankle 90 degrees the wrong way, and it's just hanging there. This is what they give you. And I have this little blue thing is a pump-up air ball. So back to the Air Jordan days, I can put more air in, take air out. And for the last 10 days, the doctor has told me to sit in one place with my leg above my heart. Now, that's very hard for anybody to do for 10 days straight on. So I have to... Let's get Jeff in here for just a second. Jeff has been just an angel. He didn't even know what the inside of a grocery store looked like until 10 days ago. So God bless him. He's really been doing a really good job of taking care of me. I wouldn't be able to do it without him or my parents. And thank goodness they live, about 30 seconds away. So I've been doing that. And before that, we were so into getting all of our Aries stuff going here in Colorado and in my own personal district 15. And that has all been put on hold so far. So unfortunately, my summer plans did not go as expected, but dealing with it just fine. I'm glad it's now instead of, in the winter when I'd have to worry about walking outside in the snow, things like that. So let's just get it done and over with. Let's heal this sucker up and let's get on the road.
Absolutely. Now, for those who may be watching Ham Nation or for the first time or not even know exactly what ham radio is, a lot of things that we do in ham radio is involved with emergency communications, and you've been doing some of that with the Colorado wildfires. Can you kind of recap some of your activities with the Colorado wildfires for some of us who may not have heard about it?
Absolutely. Here recently, everybody in the nation has heard of the Waldo fires, obviously, that happened. And 346 homes were lost. Two towns were split apart, and they were losing communications, getting communications tied up. So they called in us ham operators and asked us to help out. So we did a lot of emergency communications, a lot of the shelters from the American Red Cross shelters, back and forth kind of communications, passing traffic. You guys learn packet, learn packet, learn packet. It was so important for us to have those kind of operators there that could pass that kind of traffic as well. And along with that, we had to be mobile a lot. I was away from home for 5 days. I stayed in the Red Cross shelter and worked 15-hour days there. And we had a great communications trailer loaned out from the Rocky Mountain Ham Club, and they have put together, which you guys, I'm going to be doing a video on this here shortly, but they have this huge communications trailer that has anything you could possibly need, and they can even hand out wireless internet from their trailer. DC to light. Thank you. Jeff is correcting me here. Some really awesome tools in that trailer. So I can't wait to show it off to all you guys. They built this from scratch, and they've been a real help, not only to Colorado, but also all the way to Wyoming, Oklahoma. They were down in Katrina when the hurricane happened there. So I can't wait to show this off for these guys. They're brilliant geniuses. So with that, Colorado always felt like we're the safest state almost in the nation, thinking that nothing could ever happen to us. And, you know, Aries has never been very important to us hams around here in Colorado because of that fact. And this has really kickstarted us. And I hope that it kickstarts a lot of you Aries groups that don't think that you're going to be necessary, that you're going to be needed, because you just never know when those things are going to happen. So especially here out in the Midwest, away from the states that aren't particularly into where the tornadoes happen, hurricanes, we kind of get laid back and we forget about how operations happen, how we should have our go kits, and those go-to-go kits are so important. So this is... although it's been a devastating summer for Colorado, it's also actually been very helpful for us in the emergency communications realm to help us get it together and learn what we need to do next and be there for the next time that this happens. So I'll send it back to you guys. And I'm just so happy to be back on Ham Nation, you guys. I've missed you all so much.
Well, we've missed you too, and it's so glad to have you back. And all the wildfires and everything that goes on, it goes to prove that if you want to get involved in emergency communications, ham radio is the absolute best way to do it, because no matter where you live in the Midwest, you've got, like, you have the fires there and tornadoes in Oklahoma, and as we saw in Alabama last year, you live down here in the South, you've got hurricanes, you live out west, you've got earthquakes, you live up to the north and to the northeast, you have snowstorms, you live out in Hawaii, you have tsunamis and other things like that. So no matter where you are, you're not immune to bad things happening, and ham radio is the best way to help yourself and also help others. So, Amanda, it's great to have you back, and we've missed you, and we really appreciate you. So thanks for coming in tonight and giving us an update. Let's head out now. Speaking of hot air in California, Gordon. And but I mean that in the most loving and complimentary way. Of course, you and I have been friends for a long, long, long time. But let's take a look at Gordon and your short shots. So take it away, Gordo.
All right, thanks, John, and great to have you as host tonight. And you know, it's back to school out here in hot California, and likely back to school in other parts of the country. And lately, our phone's been ringing about wins the next ham class, or I'm out here, where is there a local instructor? So tonight we've got a free offer, not even a contest, it's free, and it was prompted by some great feedback that Ray in 9JA of ICOM America suggested that we need to do more to get Elmers and teachers well taken care of. So tonight for Ham Nation instructors or Elmers or club reps that work with a ham instructor, we've got a package of instructor guides, one for tech, general, and extra. And the neat thing about the instructor guides, absolutely free, is they've got homework to get the students preparing for class to get that homework accomplished before class. Boy Scout merit badge conversion to technician class. So if you're doing scout work that Ray is going to be doing next year with the ICOM program, you'll see that there's a conversion. And from the W5YI group that produces this material, they're going to give Ham Nation viewers that log on, and we'll give you the website in a second, not only this material, and if you need it hardbound, they can do that as well rather than downloading. Also a patch. Also, this is pretty good, PowerPoint, three separate CDs so that you can intersperse some of the great demos that are in each of these books to a little CD show and tell as well. All right, if you'd like to sign up, it's absolutely free, no cost, no obligation. Here's where to go. It is haminstructor.com, right there at the bottom of your screen. And be sure and put in when you sign up for haminstructor.com that you are a Ham Nation listener or Ham Nation viewer, and they'll give you some additional information that will be coming to you in the mail along with your registration where you can download all of this for free. Now, back to school. Everybody's asking, is the new extra class any harder than the old one a few months ago when the question pool changed? I'm happy to say, nope. They made about 30 questions, a big change. They eliminated 30 questions. Do get the new book, and it's not that much harder. But here's something you probably didn't realize. The commercial GROL license is made up for element three of many exact extra class questions. So for those of you Ham Nation viewers that have the extra, we encourage you to go ahead and consider taking the commercial GROL. This year, we don't have a question pool changing obligation to take care of for next year. Technician class is still a year and a half away before it changes. And I know many of you, like me, we don't really like all of the questions in the current tech because they ask questions about what techs would never, ever be doing when they get started on the air. If you would like to author some tech questions and send them to me, I will get them in front of the question pool committee to be considered. So when you're taking the technician class through its new question pool a year and a half from now, you'll say, hey, I dreamed up some of those questions. So you can send me an email at either the address at the beginning of the show or Gordo at ham, make that Gordo at WB6NOA.com. Anyway, get those questions to me and I'll make sure and get them right in there to the question pool committee. Now, here's the big thing. Our biggest problem, and Ray realizes this as well, is getting these newcomers on the air. And while Julian's not here tonight, we've got him on a big assignment for the next 2 weeks with all his video gear and Hannah helping. Our big assignment is to come up with, and what we're doing is coming up with a script as well as a video. It'll be 12 chapters long, and we're looking for your help. So, Alex, if you'll go ahead and roll some of the still shots, what we're trying to do is to have a book for a brand new technician. So when they get that brand new transceiver, we're going to take them through how to operate it step by step, all about repeaters. What's an offset? What's subaudible tone? Same thing for mobiles. And we're also going to highlight new technology. So they're not just an FMHT operator, but also with APRS. And that's where Don does his thing. We're going to try and write this book, and we're looking for your help that will be designed for kids as well. Because let's face it, We need more kids getting into our ham radio hobby. And digital, oh, I know you digital guys and girls love the back of these rigs with all the wires hanging out. I'm looking for some digital specialists that would like to write a few paragraphs or make sure we didn't leave anything out, or when Julian's doing the videoing, that we've got the digital world well covered. And there's Don. And Don, next week, is going to be talking about ATV and digital ATV. But in the book, we're going to talk about the world of amateur television. And right now, he's just getting warmed up there. Of course, we're going to talk all about D-Star and some of the exciting modes that D-Star has to offer for those that have an HT and want to expand their horizons on operating literally all over the world. And yeah, we're going to try and in our Ham Nation Master Publishing put together book and video, try and help these brand new students decide what's going to be the best radio for them, not necessarily the most expensive. And should we buy a radio at a swap meet or should we buy it brand new? And we'll talk about buyer beware. But in this case, this is a great swap meet, great folks there at the swap meet getting some good deals on ham radio equipment. We'll talk about that. And of course, the QSL cards. Boy, there's an old one from W1AW down there at the bottom. We'll talk about the art of QSLing, either logbooks of the world or actually coming up with your own QSL card. So this new book is going to be exciting. We'll talk about public service. I'm a member of Navy Marine Mars, as well as the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. We just had a big Mars event last weekend, and we'll talk about what it's like to join some of these service groups that serve our country, and we'll talk about tropospheric ducting. Hey, today the beacon was in all the way from Hawaii, but we lost KH6HME Paul, so we're hoping that there'll be someone new coming up to the beacon site for this 2,500-mile path. And, of course, this weekend is part one of the ARRL 10 gigahertz weekend. And in our book that we're going to be putting together, hopefully with all of your help, we're going to be talking about getting on the air at 10,000 megahertz, as Chuck is here with his 10 gig gear. And, of course, we'll have Clint Bradford showing us all about working the satellites. And we'll tell folks getting on the air for the first time that it's easy, even with a little rubber duck, to maybe hear some of the overhead satellite passes. So we're hoping that all of you will get a hold of me, Gordo, either at my call sign, WB6NOA at ARRL.net, or Gordo at WB6NOA.org. I had to take a look at that, .com. And thanks to Pastor Jason 6AUX for that new connection there. But we want you to be sure and let us know what we need to put in this new book, because we're going to give tons of credit to those of you that help us develop this book and video. And Julian is also looking for some input. And if you got some great shots, we'd like to put them in there as well. So 100 years of ham licensing is here this coming Friday. We hope you all celebrate. We're all going to go to Don's house as he makes his way down to see the gang in Huntsville. If you can't make Huntsville, www.w5kub.com, and we'll probably see Bob and George and Don and all the others having a great time there. So again, be sure and log on to haminstructor.com. or send me an email and get these free instructor guides that I've written along with the CDs of PowerPoint. And that way we'll make teaching ham radio this fall the number one item for newcomers as well as upgrades to get advantage of this great hobby. So, Don, back to you and have fun in Huntsville. Go ahead.
Oh, you know we will. And if you're a new viewer to Ham Nation or you're new to ham radio and not exactly sure who all these people are here, Gordon West, WB6NOA, is the number one ham radio instructor in the world. I think, Gordon, you probably have the distinction of helping get more people licensed in ham radio than anybody else on the planet. And we appreciate everything that you do for ham radio. And, yeah, we're looking forward to Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest, where at 2 o'clock Central Time, on the W5KUB.com web stream, you'll see me up on stage awarding the Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award to a very deserving Aaron King, AK4JG, and I am really looking forward to that. Let's move over towards the chat room, and let's bring in another one of our friends from up north, Cheryl, K9BIK. She's going to help us out with the chat room. So, Cheryl, how are you tonight? Are you with us?
Hi there. Good evening, everyone in Ham Nation chat room and listening and watching. Hi, Don. Hi, Gordon. Hi, Amanda. Nice to see you there tonight. And it's a big question pool I have here. So if you want to get started, you just let me know when you want to do that, because they really are ready for you.
We've got a few minutes now. Let's take about 7 or 8 minutes and talk about the chat room. That's what tonight's all about. So hit us with your questions.
Very good. I have a question. What is a suggested training website to prepare for a ham radio license? That was a major general question. If you'd like to take that, Gordon, if you have the answer for that, what's a good website?
Well, you know, there's some great websites that are available, but because the question pools change every year from class to class, it would be pretty expensive for someone to develop a website where they would take all of their training just on that website for a particular license. So I always say the very best education is to find a local club that is offering a ham radio class. Hopefully they'll be using my exclusive books, because I come with a book, which means they can call me up with any technical question or what rig to buy or questions like that, and I answer the phone myself. And so I would say certainly use the web for good information, but I'm not aware of a actual amateur radio full course that is free on the open web. Go ahead.
Oh, I do know that there are some good practice. There are some good practice exams. If you just do a quick Google search for ham radio practice exams, you'll come up with any number of websites where you can go on and actually take practice tests online. And that's a great way to really groove that test taking experience. And when you get on those and you're getting to where you're passing 80-90% almost every time you're ready to take the test. Cheryl.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Donna. And on the same note, I have Jordan, VA3SOM. He says, are there any for Canadians or for basic, basic plus and advanced? They're looking for a Canadian class. Is that something you're familiar with at all?
I am. And Canada RAC is probably the organization to first contact to get started. But yes, in Canada, their license classes are similar to ours. Our training would not work for them and vice versa. But certainly if they were to contact RAC of Canada, they should be able to locate a local club. And again, it's those hardworking club members teaching classes for free, which we also do ourselves this coming year, no charge for instruction. Those are the ways to get involved in ham radio big time, so you really see the gear you're soon going to be operating.
Great, thanks. One more question that's an interesting one. I think this is a very good question. Looks like they asked, is there any way to use Echolink to listen without a license? Gordon, what do you think?
Wow, that's a good one. Let me go to Don on that. Don, what do you think about Echolink as a third party? Go ahead.
I know you have to be a licensed ham to register the program, so I don't think Echolink would work for that. Now, there may be, I'm not sure who would know about this either, but there's got to be some online resource where you can go on and listen to that stuff. But as far as actually using Echolink, I know that to register the program and get it to actually come up and work, you have to have an amateur radio call sign, which they will go in and research and make sure that you are licensed. So Echolink, I don't think you can do it. You can do it that way. I really don't.
Okay, thank you for that. And I have N2JFD Jim. He says, I'm a Cub Scout leader and want to start my boys in ham radio. What age should I start them out at? Gordon, I'm going to have to go to you on that.
Well, certainly Cub Scout age is perfect. In fact, in our technician class instructor's guide, we show how to teach kids that are scouts and the correlation between the radio merit badge and technician class questions right here in this free book. And so I would say Cub Scouts, absolutely get them started. work with those scouts and work with a local ham testing team that have the possibility of actually reading the question to a specific scout that may have a little problem reading it themselves. And we'll take care of those kids to get them licensed if they've well prepared.
And that the same thing goes for the actual exam. An exam that I was involved with as a VE the last time, as a matter of fact, in one of the HamFest, we had a young person come in, and the test was given to her orally. We read the questions to her, and she marked her answers down, and that's how that was done. So there are any number of ways to accommodate any special need at any of these testing sessions. So don't be afraid. If you have a special need, we'll accommodate you. Absolutely.
Thank you for that. And I have a question from Hammy McValen, directed to you, Gordon. He's curious what kind of jobs you've held over the years, other than the one where you're so well noted for as your classes for ham radio and Morse code.
Well, I got started in ham radio as the roots of marine electronics, installing marine VHF radio telephones. But back then, they were actually HF and medium frequency radio telephones. So that was my start. And I've, done coral conducting and worked with different manufacturers like SBE, as well as others. And I have something coming to me right now. Oh, U.S. Army, yep, did that as well. So they all contributed to this fabulous hobby of getting involved in instruction, which I've been doing now for 40 years.
Wow, excellent. Thanks for that answer, Gordon. And we also have Damien, that would be KD8NLG. He said, what would be a negative side effect to folding each leg of a dipole in half? So instead of each leg being 50 feet, they would only be 25 feet long. What would be a negative side effect? Is there any detriment to that configuration?
That sounds like a question for George, being the broadcast engineer. George,
yeah,
do you want to take that one?
George.
You'll get... what would I call it? Wrinkles in the wire where you twist it. It's going to change the impedance a little bit. It's also going to change the radiation angle some, but that can be done. You're probably going to have to cut a different length of wire, though, to get it to match. And there are folded dipole antennas out there, so you might want to do a little research before you tackle that project. What do you think, Gordo?
You know, I absolutely agree. That would be an eighth of a wave on each side. Or excuse me. Yeah, it'd be an eighth of a wave and an eighth of a wave. The feed point would go wacko. So if they're going to do like a folded dipole, then they need to treat it like a folded dipole and come up with a correct balun for it.
Great. One more thing. This is for everybody. I'm going to start out with George on this one. He says, Chris, that would be N8OXC. He wanted to know what's your favorite current antenna is at your QTH. I'm going to start with you, George. What is your favorite antenna at your location?
Well, that's kind of hard to say, but so I guess I'll say for HF, I really like my 80-meter loop. I've had a lot of good luck at that. It's quieter than the other antennas I have had. Although I just received a mystery antenna from our friend Phil, AI4DQ. This is a good antenna, too, now. It works good, too. But I'm planning on trying
that. It's very flexible, that antenna.
It is, yeah. It feels like it's part of me, almost. But I'm planning on trying that mystery antenna. Yeah, I'm going to try that mystery antenna as soon as the leaves fall off the tree here and I can shoot my slingshot up through there.
Excellent. And how about you, Dan? What's your favorite antenna?
I've got, I'm a big fan of wire antennas, and I don't have my tower up here yet. The G5RV is a great antenna, wire antenna, if you're limited on space. If you have unlimited space, I've got an antenna called a Carolina Windham. It's an off-center fed dipole, basically, and it's from a company called Radio Works that made this commercial version. Of course, they're easy to make. Any type of a wire antenna is easy to make. But the Carolina Windham, I have the 80-meter version. I had a 160-meter version as well that was like 300-and-something feet long. So if you have the room for that, that's a great one. As far as mobile, I'm a big fan of the screwdriver-type antennas for mobile HF.
Have you heard of the Tar Heel before? The Tar Heel mobile screwdriver antenna?
Yeah, that's what I have. I have two. I have the little Tar Heel original, and I have the little Tar Heel 2 on my Jeep right now, and those things work great.
Yeah, the II, absolutely. That is a good one. David has that in his truck, too. It really works well. And Gordo, how about your favorite antenna?
Well, my favorite for brand new students coming up on HF with a brand new, either a tech license for 10 meters, CW on 15, 40, and 75, or a general license for all the HF fans would be an off-center fed Wyndham, because you can put it up at less than $125, add some coax, no tuner is necessary external, the rig's built-in tuner, that certainly helps on some of the installations, and it's an inexpensive antenna. Radio works, and another favorite, radio waves make great off-center fed Wyndham antennas. And by the way, over my shoulder, Jim's Engraving is who makes the call letter plaques that many of us have, including you, Cheryl, and Edmunds Scientific. Both of these are in my instructor's guide book as resources. Edmunds Scientific make the little flashing as I talk, and they go up and down. That's one of their demonstration units that they sell. Inexpensive, like $18. Back to you, Cheryl.
Nice.
That is an awesome flashing little antenna that you had. I didn't know where you got that from. So thanks for sharing that with the audience tonight, too. We all want to know where to get that, for sure. And the other question is, someone says they plan on building an antenna farm like Bob's, but just a little smaller, and they're just trying to say, what's the best place to start? I know about the MIT coaxial dipole and want to put some of those up, but again, where do I start? Perhaps that might go to you, George?
You start at the far end of the coax. I mean, there's no good answer.
That's right.
It depends on your property. You know, it's what you've got to work with. Dipoles are good. That off-center fed that Gordon was talking about is a good antenna. I use one of those on 40 meters myself and the bands above that. But, yeah, I don't know. It depends on what you got. You know, I'm kind of partial to that loop, but Bob is pulling me in toward that coaxial dipole pretty hard. So we'll eventually have to give that a try as well.
Certainly. Absolutely. And my favorite antenna is the mystery antenna, also from AI4 Delta Quebec, who is a big advocate of that. And that's where I get the really big signal out, coupled with an amplifier. You know, it just really gets out and unbelievably so. So good luck with your install on the mystery antenna. And DX Engineering has some things about that and the balance, because we use a 4-to-1 balun on this system here. And I think that might have a little bit to do with making a difference. So consider that when you put yours in, George. But other than that, there is one other one from KC9UDA Tom. He says, where might one find information about a local ham radio club and Aries group? So I'm thinking they're thinking of Racies and Aries. Maybe you just would search that in Google. Is there any other sites or anything that you might suggest?
ARRL.org.
All right. That's a pretty easy one right there then. Other than that, What reflector is the D-Star net on tonight? I always get that all the time, constantly.
Is that still on 14 Charlie, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Reflector
14, Module C.
Yeah.
Thank you very
14
much.
14 Charlie. There you go.
And that's what.
All
that's
right, we will check.
Much ramps it up.
Good. We'll see if we can check back with more chat room stuff a little bit later on. But we're talking about antennas reminded me that a great antenna deserves an excellent radio, and that, of course, would be ICOM. And they're a sponsor here of Ham Nation tonight, and let's bring in a ham of some renown, W6TWT, to tell us about ICOM. Leo?
Hello, hams! Hi, George. Hi, Gordo. Hi, Bob. Let me interrupt. May I interrupt for a moment? You know I'm an ICOM fan. I am all... Huh?
Bob isn't on the show.
Bob's not on the show. Bob! All right, Gordo and George, you know. And Bob's there. Bob's always there. Bob's there in spirit. You know I'm an ICOM fan. All ICOM here in my ham shack. I love my ICOM radios and even my handy talkie. And we thank them for their support here at the Twit Brick House of our ham shack. And of course, for their support of Ham Nation. Ray Novak and the crew at ICOM just make the best darn stuff. If you're looking for a radio that's strong enough for a base but made for mobile operation. This is a great compromise. It's the IC7000 from Icon. It's an all mode. It's HF, VHF, UHF. It is a mobile. I mean, it's a 5-pound box, 100 watts on high frequency and 6 meters, 50 watts on 2 meters, 35 watts on 77 centimeters. Built-in filtering using DSP. The sophistication going into this gear is so amazing. I mean, you don't need to buy these add-on filters. You could fight almost all man-made atmospheric and electrical noises that will make it hard to hear those weaker signals. That means you DX better. You're going to hear farther. You're going to understand stuff you couldn't understand before. Of course, they have IF filters and noise reduction tools right there at your fingertips. And receive and transmit equalization, which is really nice. But it's compact. I mean, take a look. In fact, I think we probably have a video of the display. It's beautiful, colorful, crisp. Really a nice feature-rich interface. You can customize it, of course, including not just the background color, but the font as well. Nice feeling ballistics in the main tuning knob. Just great weight to it. 8 commonly used functions have dedicated interface keys. So it's kind of like a push-button radio. Basic operation, completely intuitive. You'll have no trouble getting started. But then as you get deeper and more serious about the hobby, you can do more because it's all there, HF, UHF, and VHF. Comes with a great user manual, too, so you can really learn what you need to know. Optional ICOM accessories for just about any installation include the remote head kit, the mobile speakers, the antenna tuners for mobile installation, desk microphones, too, speakers, kilowatt amplifiers for a compact base station. Very popular for field day, of course, because it's powerful yet portable. De-expeditions, too. It's really good at the DX because of those filters. And the third-party support, of course, from Mr. Bob Heil. The microphones and headsets are all there. Antennas, too, from Comet, Diamond, Radio Waves, Double Bazooka Dipoles. I had a girlfriend named Double Bazooka Dipoles. Go to ICOM. Sorry, George. I didn't mean to say that. Gordo, I apologize. ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. ICOM, ICOM. America.com/HamNation for more info on the IC7000 all-mode transceiver and a register for their weekly drawing. Maybe you'll be taking home an ICOM soon. Now back to the guys and gals of HamNation.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Leo. That's a great radio. That's the radio that I run in my Jeep is the 7000. It's great. I've got the radio itself down near the floorboard and the remote-mounted head right up where I can see it. Just a great radio. Absolutely love that radio. Well, let's see what's going on. There you go. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's a killer. And look at that display. You know, you could act, before they got rid of analog TV, you could actually modify that to watch TV on that thing. The Japanese version comes already equipped that way. That's a great radio. Well, let's see what's going on in the rest of the world from my other amateur radio job, and that's Amateur Radio Newsline. This is from report number 1826. Here are the Ham Nation headlines for today, Tuesday, August 15th, 2012. If you'd like to try your hand at some truly out-of-this-world DX, and this is where that DSP from that 7000 would come in handy, try this. With the successful landing of NASA's rover Curiosity on Mars, some hams are thinking of trying to catch signals from the new rover directly, or perhaps those from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter circling the Red Planet. The question is it possible? Well, thanks to some research by the Southgate News, it turns out that the Curiosity rover transmits on frequencies around 401 megahertz. But the transponder on the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has a CCSDS forward frequency in the 437 megahertz amateur satellite service band. That's because 435 to 438 megahertz is shared with the military. 432 to 438 is a space surveillance radio band. In fact, general space usage extends beyond that. So the question is, how does it all work? Well, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has a UHF transponder. It's known as a Melicom that operates between 401 to 437 megahertz. Also, there's a pair of patch antennas that it communicates with any landed assets on Mars surface supporting the CCSDS Proximity 1 protocol. Now, with all of that working the way that it has throughout the mission, which has been flawlessly, signals from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter are being received back on Earth. While NASA's Deep Space Network, of course, has no problem hearing the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the question is if a ham radio station with simple equipment might be able to do the same. If you'd like to give it a try, There are two papers from NASA that might be of assistance. The first describes the operation of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. The other is titled Mars Express and the NASA Landers and Rovers on Mars Sustaining a Backup Relay in an Interplanetary Network. You can find both of these documents. They're in PDF format, and you'll find the links to them in the full edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. And online, you'll find that at arnewsline.org. Back here on Mother Earth, ham radio was called out after the world's worst blackout in recent times cut power to 700 million people in India. That happened July 31st. VU2JAU is the National Coordinator for Disaster Communication in India. He reports that the Northeast grid failed due to a fault in the plant and 20 states were affected by the power failure. He said that hams in and around the affected areas provided emergency communications during the outage. He noted that all the voice repeaters in the areas hit by the blackout remained in operation despite the heavy-duty backup power that was required. Up to 20 of India's 28 states were plunged into darkness. The blackout halted hundreds of trains, took out traffic lights, and caused surgical procedures to be canceled. Several miners were trapped underground when their elevators failed. NDX, the long-anticipated CY9M St. Paul Island, the expedition was forced to go QRT earlier than expected at the request of their transport ship's skipper due to a forecast of poor weather conditions. As a result, they departed from St. Paul at about 1900 UTC July 31st. The good news is, in the short 4.5 days of operating, the team may get this over 33,000 contacts. And all those QSOs will be verified electronically via Logbook of the World once the operators return home. And if you need paper cards, you should QSL to Tim Beaumont, M0URX. You'll find him, I'm sure, online. Meantime, their logs are now available for viewing on Club Log. ARRL President Kay Craigie, N3KN, has appointed James Millsap, WB4NWS of Ackworth, Georgia, as the new ARRL Southeastern Division Vice Director. That was effective August 1st. This after the former Vice Director, Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, resigned because she's accepted a job outside of the division. Hartledge's replacement, Jim Millsap, began his ham radio career at age 12. Operating 6-meter AM from Atlanta over the years, he served as assistant emergency coordinator for Cherokee County Amateur Radio Emergency Service. That was since 2002. He was appointed ARRL emergency coordinator in 2010, has been the district emergency coordinator for Metro Atlanta District since 2011. He was selected Georgia's Ham Operator of the Year in 2010 for his volunteer work in Georgia Aries. And his appointment runs until noon, January 1st, 2014. And for those of you who may or may not remember, Andrea Hartledge, KG4IUM, was the 2004 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. And I hope that you'll join me and George and Bob Heil this Saturday in Alabama at the Huntsville Ham Fest. Amateur Radio Newsline will present Aaron King, AK4JG, with the 2012 Young Ham of the Year Award. And I have the honor of presenting that to this impressive young lady. If you can't be there in person, as we said earlier, you can watch the live stream online and join in the chat room. Thanks to Tom Medlin, W5KUB. You'll find that at W5KUB.com. And that'll do it for this week from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news each and every week for 35 years and counting. We've been bringing that to you at www.arnewsline.org. And so 73, and we'll see you next time right here on Ham Nation with the news. And now let's head back up towards Jackson, Mississippi, to our friend George and see what's going on with the smoke and solder segment. George, take it away, my friend.
Well, Don, you know, last week we had so much excitement talking about capacitors that I thought I would continue on a little bit. I was going to do something different, but I decided, well, we really need to cover capacitive reactants. And so that's what we're going to do this week. So, Alex, if you'll roll the video. Last week on Smoke and Solder, we talked about capacitors. Now, this week, we're going to continue by covering capacitive reactants. According to electronics-tutorials.ws, when you apply a DC voltage to a capacitor, the capacitor itself will draw a charging current from the supply voltage and charges up to a voltage that's equal. Likewise, when the supply voltage is reduced, the charge stored in the capacitor also reduces and the capacitor discharges. In a circuit that's supplied with an AC signal that's constantly swinging from negative to positive, you've got a frequency, and the capacitor is either being charged or discharged on a continuous basis. As the capacitor charges or discharges, a current flows through it that is restricted by the internal resistance of the capacitor. This internal resistance is known as capacitive reactance, and it has the symbol X sub C. Its unit of measurement is ohms. Resistors have more or less a fixed value and do not vary so much with frequency. However, capacitive reactants does vary with frequency. As the frequency applied to the capacitor is increased, its reactance decreases. And as the frequency decreases, the reactance increases. This is called complex impedance. And complex impedance exists because the electrons in the form of an electrical charge on the capacitor's plates pass from one plate to the other more rapidly as the frequency goes up. As the frequency increases, the capacitor passes more charge across the plates in the given time, resulting in a greater current flow. Let's look at the capacitive reactance formula. X sub C is the capacitive reactance in ohms, F is frequency in hertz, and C is capacitance in farads. So the formula is X sub C equal 1 over 2 pi FC. Let's try an example now using a frequency of 1,000 hertz and a capacitance of 1 microfarad. Now, 1 microfarad is 0.000001 farads. So we would say 2 times pi, which is 3.142, times the frequency, 1,000, times the capacitance in farads, which would be 0.000001. And then we would divide that number into 1. And that would tell us that we've got 159.1343 ohms of capacitive reactance with this capacitor at 1,000 hertz. Now let's try it again with the same capacitor, but this time let's increase the frequency to 5,000 hertz. So that's 2 times pi times 5,000 times 0.000001. And then we'll divide that number into 1, and we see that it's 31.826 ohms. So indeed, as the frequency increases, the capacitive reactance decreases. So we know a capacitor does not pass DC, and if we think about that, it makes sense because as you go down in frequency, the reactance goes up. So at DC, essentially the capacitor would have an infinite resistance. So one way of thinking of a capacitor may be that it is a frequency-controlled resistor. Normal resistors are not frequency-dependent, and therefore current and voltage remain in phase. The illustration here shows current on the top graph and voltage on the bottom. Of course, capacitors take time to charge, and time is money. And time is frequency. With a capacitor, voltage lags behind current because of the charging and discharging time. Because of this current, voltage, and time relationship, phasing is taking place, and that means capacitors are good for building filters. Let's take a look at a couple of real popular filters. Now, for those of you listening to the podcast and not watching the video, essentially the low-pass filter is a capacitor and parallel across the output, and the high-pass filter is a capacitor in series with the output. The low-pass filter shown here uses a resistor and a capacitor. On the left, we see that at normal frequencies, the capacitor will have a capacitive reactance, and that's determined by the frequency, and will probably have some effect on the output level of voltage out. The circuit in the center shows that at DC or zero frequency, the capacitor is practically non-existent. There is no capacitive reactance, so the voltage out will be unaffected. Now, the circuit on the right is showing the low pass at higher frequencies, in which case the capacitive reactance is zero, which is more or less a short across the output, meaning that none of the signal gets through. Now, for a high-pass filter, on the left, we see at normal frequency,
whatever that is,
and the capacitive reactance will be determined by the frequency, which means it could have some effect on the voltage output. In the center, we see the high-pass filter at DC or zero frequency, and in this case, the capacitive reactance is infinite, which means none of the signal gets through to the voltage output. And on the right, we see the high-pass filter at high frequency, and it's showing that the capacitive reactance is zero, in other words, a short, so all of the signal gets through without being affected by the capacitor. And that's the exciting conclusion of today's episode on capacitive reactance. Now, there's still a lot more to know about capacitors, But here's a little bit to get you started. Now, you know, people have been asking through the chat room and email for a good while now, would I be building something that you could build along at home? And yes, I am. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that. The first item coming up is going to be this open beacon kit. That's a 30-meter beacon that connects via USB to your computer. You program it, then it'll operate standalone. Now, it's 100 milliwatts. This is going to be a fun kit to build. And if you think you'd like to build along, well, check out the etherkit.com website and learn more about that. Now, one other item we're going to build is an MFJ 4-to-1 Balun. Now, the part number for that is going to be MFJ 913K. And I'm still waiting on the prototype, so we're not quite ready to go with that yet, but it's coming real soon. And one more item I just learned that we'll be building here, and I had a poll on it over on the Amateur Logic Facebook page, and that's the soft rock receivers and transceivers. And I asked which one you'd most like me to build, and the majority of the folks picked the soft rock RX-TX ensemble. Now, that's a small little kit. That's a software-defined receiver and transmitter. It's from Tony Parks. And you can learn more about that, or you can order your kit so that you can build along with me as I begin here at 5-dash.com.
That is great stuff.
Well, thanks. Yeah, capacitive reactants. You know, everybody needs a little bit of that. But anyway, there you go. That's kind of what you can do with capacitors, all kinds of filters and other purposes for them. I mentioned those things that are coming up. Go check them out. Check out each of those items there. You may want to build along at home. The open beacon is probably the first one that I'm going to tackle, and we'll announce next week when these will be built. I did hear from MFJ this morning, and I should have the prototype here tomorrow of that Balun kit, so we'll get a little closer look at that. And the soft rock. You know, I've built three of those, and I'm looking forward to building the fourth one. I haven't built one with the transmitter yet. And this one will have the receiver and the transmitter together, so that ought to be a lot of fun. Contest. We've got lots of things to give away here. You know, ICOM is running a weekly contest now at the website. That's at icomamerica.com/en/hamnation. You can go on there and sign up and tell us a little bit about what you like about the show. And every week, I believe they have three different winners that'll win some free ICOM swag, like T-shirts, hats, a variety of items that ICOM has there. And check it out. We're getting a lot of good feedback and finding out what people want to see more of on Ham Nation. So that's been a big help for us. On our regular, well, let's hold up on that one. Let's just go ahead and talk about this other big ICOM contest that's going on now. And that's the one where we're going to give away an ICOM IC7000, a $250 gift certificate from Comet Antenna, and a $250 gift certificate from Diamond Antenna. Now, if you want to enter that contest, you'll be wanting to go to facebook.com/groups/smokeandsolder. And check out the group there. That's the only thing we're doing with it right now is supporting this contest. And here's how you can participate. You must be a licensed U.S. radio amateur. The entry that you put in the contest must be yours. There's only one entry per contestant. Now, we run into some issues here this week. Some people were posting multiple photos of their installation there, and that's more than one entry. But you know, that really kind of helped out. It let us see more of what was going on. So we have amended the rules now so that when you post your pictures, post them to an album on the Smoke and Solder group there, and then we can see every detail that you want to show us about that installation. If you had previously posted some on there just to the wall, please go back and put them in an album because the page was getting so clogged up and so many entries on there that there's no way we could really sort through and determine who had the most likes. So post your pictures to a group. And when you like a picture on there, don't just like the picture, like the group, because that's what we'll be counting. Now, the winner's going to be responsible for any taxes that may be incurred in this. As you know, sometimes you're required to pay taxes when you win something. The winner also agrees to let his or her name and call sign be used in any promotional or news items relating to the contest. And you can't be an employee of TWIT, Amateur Logic, Howl Sound, Gordon West Radio Schools, ICOM America, Comet, Diamond Antennas, or any of their affiliated organizations. Now, to enter, you just go post one or more pictures to your album on the Smoke and Soda group. You'll create the album yourself. And submissions will be accepted through August the 29th. And they must be legal ham gear. If we see some illegal CB amplifiers or something included in there, those are probably going to get disqualified. So be careful what you post. We're wanting ham gear. If you just happen to have a CB in the car too, that's okay. But that's not what you're going to be judged on. Viewers will have until Tuesday, September the 4th to go like these albums and tell us, you know, what they think is the best, the most unique, or the most innovative installation by clicking the like on that album. On Wednesday, September the 5th, we're going to draw from a group, you know, who had the most likes. We'll get 10 contestants there, put them in a poll on Facebook, and have a final round of voting and determine who's going to win this great prize. And you'll have to September 11th to vote on that final round there. And we're going to give it away on Wednesday, September the 12th. That's a great prize here, the ICOM IC7000, $250 from Diamond, $250 from Comet. These can be mobile products. You can use them all on a base, whatever you want. You're choosing your own antennas there. So please go enter the Facebook group for Smoke and Solder. Thanks to ICOM, Comet, and Diamond for helping us put this contest on. Now for our regular weekly contest. Last week, we asked a question, what's another name for a capacitor? And William, KA2OFM, had the correct answer. And he said a capacitor can also be called a condenser. So congratulations, William. We're going to be sending you that soldering kit from cheapham.com. And for next week, what we're going to give away is a special item here. We were talking about Diamond a minute ago. This is an X50A antenna. It's, I don't know the exact length of it. It's probably, you know, in the neighborhood of 5 feet. It's a dual-band UHF-VHF antenna. It's, I call it small because the one I've got is a bigger model. It's about 18 foot. But this is a great little antenna here, especially if you don't have a lot of room. And a lot of people are using these. This is going to be given away next week on Smoke and Solder. If you would like to win this Comet X50A antenna, then what you need to do is send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and tell me what's the gain on VHF and UHF for that antenna, and we'll have a lucky winner next week who can pick that up from us. So that's it for Smoke and Solder this week, and I see we've about run the clock down there, Don.
Ooh, that was jam-packed. What's the model number on that antenna again so we can look up and see what the gain is so everyone has a good chance of winning that? What's the model number on that?
Yeah, that's the Diamond X50A.
Diamond X50A. Boy, that makes some great antennas. Man, we've got some kind. We're giving away a 7,000. We're giving away this. We're giving away that. Let's. Can we give Gordon away? No, we might want to keep Gordon.
No, we're keeping him.
All right, let's see. I think we may have time for one more question from the chat room, Cheryl, if you've got one more for us. We're getting close on time here.
Okay, first off, I want to say thanks to all the hams nationwide and outside of the country, too, for your questions and for all your informative comments tonight. We so love them and keep them coming for us. Will anyone from Ham Nation be attending Pacificon was one of the questions in the chat room from Ken.
Yes, good question.
Gordo will be there. So, yes, I'll be there all 4 days, although it's a 2.5-day show. See you at Pacificon.
Excellent.
Great. And Franklin, congratulations on getting your general class license. That's KD0RSJ. Franklin worked very hard, and he just can't wait to get on the HF. So congratulations.
Excellent.
And we'll turn it back over to you, Don. Thanks so much. See you next time on Ham Nation.
Absolutely. Cheryl, thank you so much for a man in the chat room for us. It's hard for us to watch it while we're standing here staring into the unblinking eye. And we do appreciate everything you do for us. We appreciate Amanda and wish her all the best. And, of course, Bob will be at Huntsville. I'll be at Huntsville. And George will be at Huntsville. Gordon will not. He's not making the trip. But we'll see you all there at Huntsville this Saturday and Sunday. And George, I imagine you're going to be bringing your camera and doing some video stuff as well. So that will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you and seeing Bob there.
It is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be shooting some video for Ham Nation, I'm sure, and some for AmateurLogic.tv, which, by the way, will have a new episode out in the morning that you might want to check out. I talk a little more about that Raspberry Pi. And that sure is a tasty little computer, Don.
Boy, no kidding. And looking forward to the Young Ham of the Year Award. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've been involved with that since 1995 and have met every young ham since 1995. And, in fact, I've taught several of them to do cannonballs in the pool. So you'll have to ask the MFJ guys about the time where we put all of the furniture in the pool. But that's a story for another episode of Ham Nation. We've come to the end of this one. So we want to thank everyone in the chat room for being with us tonight and everybody watching. George up in Jackson, thank you for being here out towards California. And Gordon West, thank you for being here. And, of course, Amanda in Colorado. And Cheryl up there in the Great White North where are you, Cheryl? You're up in Illinois, aren't you? Yeah, up around.
Northeastern Illinois near the Wisconsin border there.
There you go, up there in cheese country. Well, thanks to everybody for being here tonight, and thanks to Bob Heil, Canine EID, for letting me sit in his chair. There you go. There's the information. And, of course, we'll join you on the nets tonight. What are the frequencies of the nets? Anyone know? George?
3.847 megahertz, 7.268, and 14.268 megahertz. For digital, you can do Echo Link, which is at the Star Do Drop In Star Conference Server. That's node number 355-800. And for D-Star, join us on Reflector 14 Module C. Or if you don't have D-Star gear, you can listen at wx4adx.com/listen.
There you go. Look at that. Here we go. There you go. That's Echo Link on the iPhone. It's a great way to do that if you can. So, all right. So for everyone tonight watching, we'll say 73. And thank you so much for being here on Ham Nation. And we will see you next time right here on the Twit Network. Thank you all. Good night. 73.